for that. Also remind you of the different things that we have going on here at the church. Remember on Wednesday night that we will have our Bible study. We're in the book of Acts, and we're going through Acts. Amen. I think we're on the other side of chapter 8 right now. I'm having a great time. We go line by line and precept by precept. We're not in a rush while we're in that space. And I'm just so grateful for what God is doing for us there. Amen. So the month of July, our theme for this month is retool. 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 Would somebody put that in the chat? Somebody on Facebook, somebody in Zoom. Would you put that in that retool? The month of July, everything that we're focusing on is about retool. Retooling. Many of you, God is blessed with exceptional talent and things to do, and we find ourselves in a rut. Sometimes we can find ourselves in a rut, and this is why rest is important. Rest gave us what? The ability to reflect on the effort that was still what? That we are still trusting God. That I'm still trusting God through it all and everything. Well, so this whole month, this is going to be part one of a four-part series, retooling. And I want to be here to go through this today and be able to teach this a little bit to you, which if you're not familiar with what a treach is a little bit of teaching and a little bit of preaching. I'm a good, I like to think I'm a pretty decent treacher. I know I'm not the best preacher, and God, I believe, made me an extraordinary teacher, and I try to mesh the two together so we get a little bit of a little inspiration, but also some instruction. Oh, come on, somebody. A little hope, but also a little reality. Oh, come on, I'm already doing it. But God is good, and we're just worthy he's worthy to be praised and just so grateful for what he has done. You still have time. Invite somebody to the space. Amen. Invite them to the space. You still have time before we go right into the message on today. Would you also turn your Bibles with me? If you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles with me to the book of Samuel. We're going Samuel today. This is a story that I know many of you are familiar with. It's probably one of the most famous stories out there that many people have read and time and time again. I want you to go with me to not many scriptures today. First Samuel. Let me get that up on the screen. First Samuel. There it is. First Samuel 17 and 31. We're going to go 31 through 40. Again, that's First Samuel, the 17th chapter, 31 verse, and we're going to go through 40. And I'm going to split screen with you right now so that we can read this and share this together if you do not have a Bible. Again, welcome to the Safe House Church. If this is your first time, my name is Dr. Peter Ely, and I have the wonderful opportunity of serving as pastor over this amazing congregation of people, this amazing group of smart people. You know, I look through our congregation, and you know what? Everybody in our congregation, for the most part, God is blessed to be able to go to college, amen, and be graduates. Oh, come on, somebody. That's a blessing, just not even to go, but to also be graduates, you know, advanced degrees and all kinds of things. And, you know, we have several, I mean, really, literally, several people with doctorate degrees, amen. So God has just been good to us, you know, and all this learning and all this getting understanding. But also, at the same time, I do understand that sometimes these are some of the hardest people to minister to. Why? Because, you know, we are learned people. We are people of, you know, means, you know, we're not, you know, many of us are not poor. I mean, just be honest. You know, many of us are not poor. God has been tremendously good to us. So sometimes we get in our own way. Oh, come on, somebody. We get in our own way. Why? Because we think we can figure it out. We think we already know. We think we already got an understanding of it. Why? Because we get stuck in our own way, in our own minds, because we believe some things and we see some things and we see, okay, this went this way and that went that way. So therefore, my logic tells me this way. But then sometimes we have this thing called faith that interrupts everything. Sometimes in science, we talk about they have to take a leap of faith to believe this. Amen. But sometimes, you know, we walk in this space anyway to know that what it's by our faith that these things happen and these things go. So that's one of the challenges of talking to people who are intellectually astute. Amen. Is that, you know, I tell people all the time, oh, you can't come to my church and be lying to folk. Because you will get Googled. Oh, come on, somebody. They will go back and read this stuff. Oh, come on. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman. Amen. That we teach the Bible here, that people go back and read. They go back and they understand. You can't come up with this any old philosophy thing. These things got to be able to follow. And I'm glad, God, that we have, I'm glad unto God that we have a church who understands and who reads, but also what? Be humble. Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible said, with all you're getting, get what? Understand it. And we're humble in this space to know that what? We're only one paycheck away. You're only one situation away, one sickness away from being right back in the state that you are. So we don't walk around arrogant. Oh, no, 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 no. We know that promotion doesn't come from the east, the west, the north, and the south, but promotion comes from who? From God. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and spiritual wickedness. Where? In high places. So I understand it's not my brother and my sister who's trying to hold me back. But it's not the man that's trying to hold me back. But there's a spirit behind that thing. Oh, come on, somebody. There's a spirit behind each and everything that you and I deal with. So here in the Safe House Church, we work out three things. We call it DEA. We believe God has called us to discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. So we're going to teach you in this space. We're going to walk with you in this space. We're going to go with you in this space. And then what? Now we, you know, your gifts and your talents, we're going to empower you to go forward and do what God has called you to be. We are all ministers of the gospel. I'm just going to sit here at this opportunity because this is what God has anointed me to do for right now. And then maybe he brings you up and then you replace me. I'm not irreplaceable. God can remove me and place another. Mm-hmm. If I'm called on home to reward, I don't want the Safe House Church just to stop. Then that means what? All these sacrifices and things we've done was for nothing. Then the last piece of this, which is almost like it's a cuss word to some people, is this thing called accountability. You just can't do any and everything you want to do. I can't do any and everything I want to do. I can't say it everything I want to say. I can't go everywhere I want to go. Because I am accountable to God's people. And people, God's people are accountable to me. And we are all together accountable to who? To God, which whom all blessings flow. Because we do not belong to ourselves. We are slaves to Christ. Which is why he's required to take care of us. He's required to look after us. Why? Because we belong to him. He takes care of his property. I'm God's property. You're God's property? I'm God's property. All right, let's get into what I believe God has given us today. All right, so in this month, we're going to talk about retool. All right, so let's start at verse... Did my thing reset? Yeah, I think it did. Let me 17. Yeah, I reset. I want to go down to 31. All right. Verse 31, and it says this. All right, would you read this with me? And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thou servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Here we have David, who is what? Projecting himself to go and fight against the Philistine that we know as Goliath. Very famous story. Probably the most famous out of the Bible. And Saul says to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. Here what? We find that even Saul being who? Saul is the king. The king, here's David, young man, raises up, say, hey, I'm ready for the fight. I'm ready to go forward. I'm ready to do what God has called me to do. I'm ready to go forward and fight this battle. And what does the king say? No, son, you're not ready. How many of you have found yourself in a place that, you know, God has anointed you and things are coming together and you're ready to go? And then there's one that says, oh, no, you're not ready. You know, and I think about it sometimes, you know, when we come in this space, you know, when there have been people who have discouraged us for whatever reason, selfish reasons sometimes, that discouraged us because they were not ready for what God was doing. So therefore, they put their own limits on God and they put their limits on you. Amen. How many of you have been in that space where you've seen that people put their own limits on you because of things that they didn't understand? So here we find that what David is being limited by Saul's understanding, because Saul said, all I see is a young boy. What I see is a young man here. So therefore, him being young and you going to get somebody who is gallant, he's seasoned, as he would say. He's seasoned. Why? Because he's been a man of war from what? His youth. And here you are as a youth. Who dare are you to say that you're ready to go? How you know sometimes when God has told you something, though, no matter what they say, even the king here is trying to tell David, Bo, you might need to back off on this one. You might need to back off. Now watch this. What does David say? And David says this. Because see, what sometimes what people don't understand is they don't understand what you've been through. See, I'm learning faster and faster in my day that age does not mean maturity. Oh, come on, somebody. Did I not say a mouthful there? That age does not mean maturity. We have people who are 50 and 60 years old who are still children. We have people who've been in the church 40 and 30 years who are still spiritual children. So we find by the children of Israel, when they were walking around in this circle, what? 40 some years, because they what? They lacked maturity. The maturity to understand God, the maturity to walk in their faith. This is why he said, come to me as what? Childlike faith. Because see, children, they don't believe, they believe in beyond. You know, I sit there and I talk to my daughter and I spend time with my children and I hear some of the things they say. They just believe you go for it. You know, I see the fearlessness of my son coming down the steps and he'll jump from like 4 or 5 steps down. And I'm thinking, boy, stop jumping because you're going to break your leg. And here I am projecting my fear. Why? Because of things that happened to me. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you know sometimes people project their fear on you? Yes, they mean well. But when God has told you a thing, you have to believe God and take that to the bank. Yeah, I understand and say, don't jump from that step, son, because I'm scared you're going to break your leg. Why? Because I've had an experience where I jumped from that step and I broke my leg. And therefore, I am trying to protect you. I am looking out for your good. But how many of you know that God is doing something different in this day and time? Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah, come with me in the chat if y'all with me this morning. I can't wait till we get back next week so I can see you all and I can get some feedback. But here we find that now David is being put into this block because of Saul's fear. He's trying to protect David. But David reminds him here in verse 35. He said, and I went out after him. No, go back to 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant, keep of his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Mm-hmm. And when I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. So David said here, look, I've killed bears. I've killed lions. I'm not scared. Now, sometimes when you say things like this, people look at you like, that's nothing. We're talking about a man with big guns. We're talking about a man with strong muscles. We're talking about a man with a big sword. We're talking about a man with everything at his disposal. Everything at his disposal. He can literally crush you. But David sees something different. David sees an opportunity. We're talking about retooling. I'm going to get to my message. I mean, this is my message, but we're going to get there. So David's talking about, hey, I know what I've been working with in the fields. I know you don't believe in it. I know what God has delivered my hand to do. I understand that I serve a God that is not about what I did, but it's about the God who lives in me, who does it through me. Come on, I'm ministering to somebody today. There's a God who's took this out of my hand and who's ministering through me to change this thing. So then he goes on, he says this in verse 36. Thou servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised, uncircumcised meaning that there's been no cutting away, there's no removal of sin, there's no change, Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. How many of you know when God has called you to the forefront, they're not going to understand it. Now they're not going to see it. In fact, they're not even going to see you coming. This is why it's been important that last month that we rest. And this month we are retooling, because as we go back into our church, we go back into this space, we go back to where God has called us to come together to grow and be strong and learn of the Lord and be able to work out and go out into the marketplace and convince them and others to come. As he does this work, watch this. They don't know it. They don't see it coming. Then he goes on and he says this. And David said, moreover, the Lord that has delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and let the Lord be with you. You know what? I'm tired of hearing you, David. You got it. You know it all. Let's see what you do. How many of you know sometimes you get on people's nerves? And when you got on some people's nerves and you didn't tell them and you didn't show them and you know what God is doing inside of you, you know what God has told you, you know what God has shown you, and people say, you know what? Fine, go kill yourself. Fine, go let them crush you. Mm-hmm. How many of you have been there? How many of you are there? Some of you are there right now. That people are already telling you, nope, it's not going to be anything. No, it's not going to work out. But you know what God has implanted in your heart. That's why you can't shake it. That's why when you go to sleep at night, it still bothers you. That's why you still see it in the spirit world. That's why you cannot let that thought of it go. Because you know. As long as you know that you know, that you know that you know, you can't let it go. Watch this. So this is what they do there. All right, well, fine. You'll go. Now watch this. Here it is, Saul and his limited power. I mean well for you, but watch what he does. And then Saul, we're in verse 38. Saul armed David with his armor. Saul armed David with his armor. Saul armed David with his armor. This is how people, they will arm you with what they think you need for the battle that God's told you to fight. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? They will arm you. Well, if you're going to go, this is how I would do it. But you're not going. If I was going to go, if I was going to do it, this is how I would build it. But you are not building. I find it strange that we often get the most advice from people who are doing nothing. We get the most advice from people who are sitting on the sideline watching us play. We have this term for it. We call it Monday morning quarterbacking. Well, if I was playing, I would have done this. But you're not playing. If I would have did it, I would have did it this way. But you're not doing it. So here we find what? Well, because remember, they are limited by their understanding. They're limited by their ability to reason. The retooling of the space. See, this is why God is calling us to be retooled. Why? Because we have some tools. And did the tools work? Absolutely. But part of retooling is what? Taking that which you've had and resharpening it again. See, this Holy Ghost I got, it still works. This Holy Ghost that lives inside of me is still full of power. It's still full of anointing. But I and you as believers have to go before God's altar and say, God, fill me again. God, retool me again. God, resharpen me again. God, re-quicken me again. God, give me back my love for you when I was 18 and I was 19 years old, when I would run out and I would tell people about you. Lord, give me back your power again when I was excited about you. God, give me back your love again, Lord, when I would go in and I would pray to early in the morning, oh God. Give me that power again, oh God, when I would go in and I would lay in the hands on people, oh God, and I would go in with faith, oh God, and say, Lord, I know that you're able to do it. I know that you can. Lord, what has happened to me? I need to be retooled. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I feel my help coming on this morning. How many of you know I'm talking to you today? Hallelujah. So then David goes on and he says, and he aside to go. Mm-hmm. No, go back to this. He said, and David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. He gave him a coat of mail. This is to protect you. But watch this. In verse 40, and he says this. And, no, 39, he said this. And David girded his sword upon his armor. He's wearing something that didn't belong to him. How many of you brothers and sisters are carrying an armor that didn't belong to you? This is why you don't feel freedom. Because you're carrying something that was projected onto you. It didn't belong to you. And you've been carrying that for a while. You can't rest. Why? Because you're carrying something that didn't belong to you. You're carrying somebody else's fight. God has called you over here, and yet you're still fighting with this over there. You're fighting with a generational thing. You're fighting with daddy's stuff. You're fighting with mama's stuff. You're fighting with sisters and brothers' stuff. It's not your fight. And it's not your armor. God has called you to another thing that's lighter and swifter, that you can move. The thing that you've been holding in your hand all along. That armor. It's not yours. Watch what David says here. And David girded his sword and upon his armor. He said, aside to go, for he had not proven it. Proved it. Meaning that I've not tested this. Sometimes things have been put on us. People put us in things and situations and circumstances, and they put stuff on us. And it's like, well, you can use this. I cannot wear this because I don't know if it works. I don't have any faith in this because I don't know if it works. You all know one of the things I do, I enjoy fishing. And sometimes people bring me a new bait and they'll tell me things in the store. Say, man, you got to buy this bait. Man, this bait is the best thing since sliced bread, da, 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 da. I catch all these kind of fish on it all the time, this, this, and this. And sometimes I've fallen into that. And I bought this bait. And I went out there and I used it and I used it and I used it and I caught nothing. Was it the bait? Possibly. Could it be user error? More than likely. But more than anything, Peter does not have confidence in that bait. Why? Because I've used this bait and I've not caught a single fish on it. Whether it was a small fish, a big fish, little fish, whatever kind of fish it was, I don't have any confidence in it. And what David is saying to Saul here is like, yes, this is cool. I got it. I got on the king's armor. I have the king's weight on me. But I'm also here to tell you that I've never used it. See, some people want to give you kingship and you don't even know how to use it. And this is why you won't move forward. God has called some of you all to do some tremendous things in ministry, and you won't move forward. Why? Because they put on you how to do it. And instead of you allowing God to develop in you how he would have you to do it. See, this Safe House Church thing, we didn't get any help with this. My wife and I, you know, God had been telling me for a while to step out and do this by faith. And I said, Lord, I'm going to look like an idiot in this space. Talking about we preaching on the internet. So we started doing this 5, 6, 7 years ago. And yeah, and it was growing. And then it was like, oh, it's time to go to a space. Okay, then we started meeting once a month. And, well, God, I don't know about that. Lord, we don't have any financial backing. And he said, go. Lord, we don't have any people there to support us. And he said, you there. And so we find ourselves in this space and we go in, but well, you know, this organization said, well, come over here and join with us. And it's tempting because it was okay. Maybe they bring us some resources and this structure and this and that. But what I'm reminded is that that's their armor. Peter, I called you to do something different. Because Peter, I remember when I had you out in the field and that lion came for you and came for a sheep. We handled business. Peter, I got something different for you. Because I remember when that bear came and we didn't know if it was going to work out. But I showed up with you and we handled business. So now you out here and you're doing this and we say, Lord, what about this church? Lord, is it look like we're going to ever grow? Are we going to ever break out? Is it ever going to just get to the point that things are just going to take over? And he reminds me, hey, Peter, remember when we did that? We killed that lion. Hey, remember when we got that bear? That same tool, you're just going to sharpen it and you're going to use it again. So what I understand is it's not nothing wrong with Saul's armor. It's probably the best of the best, top line. But if I don't have any confidence in that, it's useless. It's useless. So David goes in and he says, for I have not proven it to them and David put them off. So David took the armor off because it didn't what? He said it did not have any use for him. Now watch this. Watch this part. So then he goes on and he says this in 40. And he took off his staff and he took his staff in his hand, key part, and chose him 5 smooth stones. 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. He drew near to the Philistine. Can I give y'all my subject today? And I'm going to go in, and I've been preaching already. My subject for you all today is simply this. Look at what you have. Look at what you have. When I think about retooling, when I think about what it means to be re. Re means to what? To do again. So for you to re mean to do again, to retool means that what? Number one, you must have a tool. You know, I'm often reminded that, you know, when God has given us the Holy Ghost, he's given us all that we ever going to need. He's given us all that we ever going to have. And what we are to do, brothers and sisters, are to what? To work the gift. We are to work that which God has put in our hand. We are to work that which God has laid before. We are to work that which he's put here and say, okay, this is what I have, oh God. This is what you put before me, Lord. How do I get the most of it? See, some of you, you look in the space and you sit there and say, okay, I can't do this. I don't sing well. I don't do that. I can't go here. I don't understand the word of God. Like, I don't teach it well. I don't do this. I. But the truth of the matter is all of us do something well. And there's something that we all have confidence in. There's something that God has shown himself in our lives time and time and time again to show himself strong. Some of you, God has made you tremendous prayer warriors, that you've prayed for people and they recover, that people want to come to you and be prayed by you. Why? Because they believe that you can get a prayer through. They have confidence in your ability to get a prayer through. Others have confidence in your ability to get a prayer through. They have confidence in what God has done through you because they see through your life, and now that confidence exudes outside of you. Even if you don't see it, they see it in you. Mm-hmm. So often, brothers and sisters, we find ourselves on this journey. I went to a funeral on this weekend. One of my friends and a mentor, a colleague of mine, a man of God that's now gone on before us, he died. And as we were saying, they were talking about he had like 6 different college degrees, including a PhD. 6 degrees. And they said, jokingly, he had said to his wife, you know, not long before his death, saying that, honey, I'm still trying to find my calling. So it tells me that calling does not, you know, mean that you know, degrees and all this extra learning and all these things, but there's something innate inside of each and every one of us that God has called us to, that God has put us in, that says, look, this is what I have you to do. And you and I already know what that call is. We find here that David went out to what? To slay Goliath. Here's Goliath. Goliath represents in your life a tremendous situation, a tremendous circumstance, a place on the job, a place in the home, a place in the family that what you find yourself in front of, that you're trying to figure out, okay, God, how do we move forward from here? And he's telling you, look in your hand. I find it interesting that David chose to go to the brook. And when David goes to the brook, David, the Bible says he selects 5 stones. If you know anything about numerology in the Bible, that 5 is the number of grace. Oh, yeah. Come on, somebody. That David took not only 5 stones with him, but he took 5 stones of grace. David wanted to reuse his slingshot. Why? Because David had confidence in his slingshot. It was his slingshot that comforted him in the field when the lion came. It was his slingshot that comforted him when the bear came. It was his slingshot that comforted him to be able to what? To take the lives of animals and protect himself when situations and things come. So now David says, no matter what else comes, this is what I have confidence in. And if this doesn't work for me, I'd rather go out knowing that I have what I know I believe in than me picking up something else that I have no belief in and I'm hoping that it works. Oh, come on, somebody. You should feel a stirring up in your spirit already. There's something that God has called you to do, brothers and sisters, that you can do, that you don't have, but you realize that you have, but you don't have confidence to go forward. I'm telling you today, be confident in it, because it's time retooling time. It's time for you to take that thing off. It's time for you to dust that thing off. Some of you, God has given you beautiful single voices, and you sat down on God. Mm-hmm. You said, God, my voice hurts. God, I feel this way. Lord, I don't sound that great. And God is saying, it's because you're not using it. God, I don't teach that great no more. It's because you're not using it. God, I don't know how to witness. It's because you're not using it. That same thing that he gave you when he first filled you with the Holy Ghost. That same power he gave you when he first baptized you in his beautiful name. That first zeal that you had. That first fruit that he gave you. That first anointing that he had. That first that new energy that you had. Where is it? God is retooling you, and he's calling you to look at what you have and use it again. Look at what you have. Some of you have taken this thing and you put it down to the side. You said that people have abused my gift. They have used me. But you told God that you wanted to be used. Oh, I get this. I get it. I feel it sometimes. Sometimes there's opportunity and times that I feel up here and I say, Lord, people don't even come. Lord, they won't pay their tithes. Lord, they won't come to the church. They won't this. But Lord, but then he says, Peter, you asked to be used. What were you expecting? You have to work with my people. You have to help my people to hold them, be held accountable. You have to work with them in this space. If they were perfect, they wouldn't be there. Because I would have already called them up to be with me. So therefore, there's some time. There's some circumcision that has to go on. There's some chopping away that has to go on. There's some perfection that has to go on here on earth. And I'm using you to perfect them as I'm using them to perfect you. So the reason we see David, the Bible goes in there and it uses this analogy of what? It tells us that there was five. And not only that it was five, but it was what? Five smooth stones. Well, if you know anything about how does these stones become smooth, do stones just come out the earth smooth? Absolutely not. See, these stones, you have to understand, and the Bible tells you that what? He got them out of the brook. He took them out of the water. Out of the water. Water, we know in the Bible, represents most of the time for us what? Spirit. This is why we get baptized in what? The water. It's a cleansing. So not only were these stones in the water, not only were these stones clean, but these stones were smooth. How do you smooth something? You work at it. No, I think about when you see a car with a perfect wax job. That car has been what? Buffed hours to get there. They buff it and they shine it and they polish it and they shine it and they buff it and they shine it and they polish it and they shine it and they buff it and they shine it and they for hours. One car could take a week, depending on how much time they spend in buffing and shining. It could take a week. And sometimes we looking at God and say, okay, God, what about us? God has been buffing and shining that gift inside of you. You're one of those five smooth stones that's sitting in the brook just waiting to be found. And I'm here to tell you today, it's going time now. It's time for you to be on your feet and be retooled and go forth into space. Because God is calling you to be above and not beneath. He's calling you to be winner and conqueror. That thing and that gift and that anointing he's put inside of you, when are you going to use it? Now is the time. We're coming out of a pandemic. People are looking. They're looking and say, God, where can I find you? And he's sitting here saying, here am I. And you're waiting. You're saying, God, I want to be used by you. And he said, well, I've given you what you're going to use. When are you going to use it? When are you going to go talk to your pastor? When are you going to reach out and say, I'm ready? You want God to bless you and you want him to open up all these doors, but you won't bless him. You bless him by what? Doing what it is that he's asked you to do. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So how do I get them added unto me? Do what he asked you to do, and he'll do his part. So David picks the five smooth stones. So how do we find the stones again? Stones that are in water over time become smooth. It's the current. The current of the water continually beats upon the roughness of the rock, and the current smooths it out. What do you mean by the current? The current of the moving water. The current, the water is also what? Spirit. The current of the moving spirit. The current, what? The current events that you find yourself in are there to smooth you out, to be used by God. So when he gets you to the place that he wants you to be, that you are not so rigid that you don't stay in this faith. You're not so rigid that you bring God's people away. You're not so rigid that those who want to be saved, that you beat them down with your doctrines and things that you've come up with and things that you've been in this space that people have taught you over the years that's made you so rigid, that made you so boxed in, that now people who are generally desire to know God cannot know God through you because you're so rigid and so tight. But he's using this time and this circumstance and this situation and the current to smooth you out. So this is why it hurts. He's cutting away. This is why it hurts, because he's removing some things so that when you get there, you are smooth. When I look at it, one of the reasons that David also picks a smooth stone is, if you know anything about aerodynamics, see, stones that have ridges on them, if you throw them through the air force, it has a force on them. The air interacts on them. The air is what hitting them, and they move in different directions. But something that is smooth takes the airflow over. If you notice an airplane wing, you've never seen an airplane wing that is rigid. Think about that for a moment. You've never seen an airplane wing that's rigid. Why? Because it cannot be, determine the accuracy with ridges on it. These ridges allow it to be very unstable. But when it's smooth, it can be put in a direction and a whole trajectory. If you notice bullets, if you look at a bullet, every bullet you see is what? Smooth. Whether it's a bullet or whether it was one of those round ball BB bullets, they all are what? Smooth. Y'all think about it. David was teaching us how to create weapons before we were creating weapons. The Bible says he chose five smooth stones, stones that have been tried in the current. That current you're in now, the current situation you're in now, he's just trying you. And watch, you're going to come forth as pure as gold. And he's going to be able to use you in his slingshot of his word. And he's going to be able to toss you. And you're going to be able to go right through the air just as smooth. Not because what you know who you are. Brothers and sisters, I'm reminding you, look at what you have. Know who you are. God has called you already. You don't have to wait and until this. Come on. He's already told you. You're already supposed to be doing the work. And then in time and in season, while you're doing the work, what will he do? He will come and put his hand on you. Remember, that was the story of Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah was looking for what? Elisha. He needed what? A protege. Somebody to impartate these things to. And what the Bible said? He found Elisha. What was Elisha doing? He was working in the field. See, some of you are waiting for dear old pastor to come by and put his hand on you and say, yep, you go up there and you do this. Yep, you go. No, you go ahead and you be working in excellence. And when you're working in excellence, your excellence will be recognized. Your excellence will be recognized. We have to trust God. I'm having to trust God. God is teaching me some things through this thing, not through just this pandemic, but some current situations that I even find myself in, that God is reminding me. See, when I preach and I teach you all, this is a thing to myself. Because when I'm in this room like right now, like this, all I see is you all on this screen that I'm looking for. But I don't even see you. I only see me. So it's like I'm talking to myself in this same mirror over and over and over again, reminding me that we walk by faith and not by sight. I know it didn't seem like what it's going to be, but you got to keep trusting God to know that it's going to work out in your favor. You got to know that God has had all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. You got to know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. You got to remind yourself that God has got your back, that he holds the king's heart in his hand, and he can turn whatever he away. We got to remember that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the north or the south, but it comes from God. We got to know that all things work together. And I'm reminding you today that, like he told in Jeremiah, he said, it's my will that you have good success. I'm reminded by David, these five smooth stones. Are you going to be a smooth stone today? Talk to me in the chat. Tell me, Pastor, I'm going to be smooth. And what smooth means that you've been through some things. See, brothers and sisters, some of y'all have been through some things. Some of you have had sick children. Some of you have been sick in your own body. God has blessed you and given you a tremendous testimony. Some of you, God has opened up ways on your jobs. Some of you, God has made you the head amongst all the hate. Oh, come on, somebody. That they hate you just for you being you, and you keep on being you. You have a testimony. And the Bible says that we are overcome by the power of our testimony, because it was somebody else gleaned strength from what you've been through to say, you know what? I'm going to make it too. This is why we can't be selfish. It's not that you're bragging or nothing like that. But if I boast, Paul said, I boast in the Lord, from whom what all blessings flow. So I'm reminded today that don't take what you do for granted. You know how easy it is to take for granted what you do? You know, I'm often reminded people, you know, of things that I have the ability to do. Mm-hmm. And as I do these different things, I just realized that they come just second nature to me. There's some things that you do. Some of you sing like mockingbirds. It just comes second nature to you. Some of you can teach like crazy. It just comes second nature to you. Some of you are just so good in businesses that business falls and chase you down. It just comes second nature to you. See, these are the things that God is telling you. I already giving you this tool. But you're thinking, well, God is just over here. One of the things that God had to get me on, because as a young preacher, when I first started out preaching, I don't sing. I can't sing a lick. Y'all already know that. I just do what I can do. until we can do better. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm not very theatric. I don't have a lot of other skills. And I kept telling God, like Moses, Lord, I can't talk. I stutter sometimes. I mess up some names. Y'all see me get tongue-tied up here? Yeah, that's my story. I said, Lord, I don't remember all the scriptures like some of the other pastors do. These are all the excuses I'm giving God about why I shouldn't be the one in this space. I'm saying, God, you know, when some preachers get in trouble in their sermon, they'll break out in a song and everybody just go nuts and it's all over and he okay. I'm up there sweating bullets. But he did remind me. He said, well, Peter, what did I do? What did I do to you? That you know, without a doubt, you could do it whether they paid you for it, whether they didn't show up, and you would be just fine. And God had to get on me because I was using my gifting to project the world. I was using my gifting to help raise them up. And God reminded me, he said, I made you an extraordinary teacher of hard things. Things that were hard to other people. They're not hard to you. That's my gifting to you. And yet you look at other people's gifts and that's all you want is what they got. What about what I gave you? Because I gave you something that they desire too. And we're so easy and so much in everybody else's jar, we don't realize what God has already given us, what we already have, the blessings we already have, that 40 acres in the mule that some of you already have. And yet we said, I want more, God. Lord, bless me with this. Give me with this. What about what you already got? So then I found out I have this teaching gift. I can do this anywhere. It's just what God called me to be. Some of this stuff just downloads to me. I do it sometimes right off the top of my head, no problem. It's part of my gifting. And I understood after I started being around other individuals and started working with other people that I did have a gift. And no matter how much I try to teach somebody else how to do it, sometimes they just cannot be what God is gifting me with because it was what he gave me. And what you're going to find, brothers and sisters, there are things that God is just giving you that nobody else can do but you because it's just what he gave you. And we need you to do you. Why? Because we can't do us if you don't do you. What we have depends on you. So me being able to teach here is empowering your gift of song. It's empowering your gift of finance. It's empowering your gift of testimony. It's empowering your gift of healing. Because God has told me to teach it in the space. Because that's what I do. And now when I teach that, it empowered your faith for you to be able to go do what you do. And when you are doing what you do, it empowered me to be able to go back and read God's word even more because now I see things differently. Are y'all getting this morning? We're retooling. I need you to be you, baby. Because then I can be me. Because we all in this together. We are intertwined in this together. I need you to survive. So I need you to do you and be the best you that you can be. Because when you do to you and you be the best you can be, it empowers me to be the best me I can be. And then me empowers somebody else to be the best they can be. And this thing comes full circle. Stop being selfish in this space. Be selfish enough to do what it is that God has called you to do because you're hindering the rest of us. This is called all of us being on one accord. Remember the Bible talks about, and they were all on one accord. We kept reading through our Acts, and they all on one accord. What is being all on one accord? Glad you asked. It means that you are doing what God has called you to do. Stop trying to do somebody else's job. Do what he's giving you in your hand and stop complaining about what you don't have and use what you got and watch God open up the doors to what you don't have to give you more than enough. What you got. Watch him open. I remember one of our dear brothers here. He started out with a lawnmower business. He started out with one lawnmower. Little lawnmower you could buy at Walmart. He started cutting grass. He cut another person's grass. Somebody saw him cutting grass. He just had what he had, that one little more. And somebody else said, hey, can you cut my grass? And next thing you know, now he's cutting 10, 15 yards with that one little more. And somebody else, hey, can you come over here and trim this up for me? So now he's at a place. Now, okay, I can't just cut with this mower. I got to get a better mower. He's still mowing, but he upgraded the mower. Now he got a better mower. So now he's cutting faster. He's cutting a little bit more professionally. Others see him doing the work. People like winners. People see him doing the work. Man, he's doing a good job over there. Hey, how much would you charge me to do mine? Adding more people. More people. Then at some point, okay, now I got 35, 40 yards. Man, I want to put this down. But the work is chasing me. The Bible said your blessing should do what? Run you down and overtake you. That's Bible. So then what do you do? Well, I might have to go empower somebody else. Let me get me a protege. Let me find somebody to mentor and teach them the ropes and help me do this work. Mm-hmm. So now I start to work with this person and teach them. So now that 30 yards that only I can do, well, the two of us, we can do 60 now. And we still grow. And now that comes in. That, so what about, then you pick up somebody else. All he did is, and this all started with what? What he had. One lawnmower. If I told you who I was talking about, y'all know. I'm not going to do that. But I want you to see the power of this use of what you have. You do not understand what you already have. And you fleecing God about more. Some of you, God has blessed you. Some of y'all are so smart and things that you don't do nothing else outside of that. Use what you have. It's changing lives. It'll change your community. It'll change your life if you use what you have. This is how I got here. Like I said, I know I'm not the greatest preacher. I can't hoop. I can't jump and holler. But I know one thing I can do. I can stay here flat-footed, all 6'3" of me, 240 pounds of me, and I can put head to toe, and I teach with anybody in the world. No questions asked. Give me the topic. Give me what I need to do. Let me prepare, and I'm right there, and I'm going to bring it. And I know I'm going to bring the phone. Why? Because God's anointing is on my life to do this kind of work. And that's the confidence. Remember, we talked about why did David not take what Saul gave him? It wasn't that what Saul gave him wasn't good. David didn't have, it was not reproved. He didn't have any confidence in it. And I'm telling you, have confidence in what God is giving you. What he's giving you, you got to know that nobody else can do it like you. I know nobody else can teach like me. Bring them. I'm still waiting on them because I know they don't exist. Because God said he made me a peculiar people and he uniquely made me. So since he uniquely made me, there's no way that they're possible. They might come close, but they'll never, ever, ever be me. I can't be duplicated. And you cannot be either. So why do you walk around and not want to do what God has called you to do? We need you. Retooling. You rested now. I need you to take that tool out and knock the dust off of it. I need you to take that tool out and start sharpening it again. I know some of you gone through church hurt. Some of you said, well, I was in the church and they treated me this way and they did that. Welcome to the club. This is also, remember why it's called the safe house. Every single person in here, I'm almost 100% sure, has went through some kind of significant trauma based on the church. I'll wait. You want to eat lunch with me one day? Let me sit down. Let me tell you a couple of things. I'm not that old, but I can tell you some of that hell I went through. And still, sometimes, still struggle with it. And it's okay. We're coming out of it more and more every day. God is building our faith and our confidence in him more and more every day. Some of you went through some devastating things. People done some vicious and vile stuff and called themselves the people of God. But Bob also told you that it was wolves in sheep's clothing. So everything that's hollering Jesus, Jesus, ain't necessarily Jesus. But y'all already knew that. So we cannot allow, you know, these things and church hurt and stuff that we've gone through and things that people have done to us to keep our eye off the prize. And that's what keeps me going because I would have quit a long time ago. But I have to remind myself, God, what is this thing really about? And he reminds me, you don't mess with your flesh and blood, Peter. Or principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. So what I want to know, that this is your shot. What are you going to do? This is your shot. David is taking his shot. And David taking his shot changes his whole life. Why David didn't have to pay it. You know, the prize for David beating Goliath was what? He didn't have to make any more taxes. David was now praised throughout the Lord, and David at some point becomes king. How many of you know that your shot is waiting in your hands? What are you going to do? Are you going to take your shot, or are you going to sit on the sideline and complain about it? Complain about what didn't happen, why it didn't happen. This is your shot, your opportunity, your chance. So why believe God going to do this for me? Yeah, through your work. You got to put it in. So then watch this. Two little quick pieces and I'm done. We must be careful. And I know I fall in this in particular. A lot of times, you know, God has blessed me to be able to do a lot of things. A lot of you all do a lot of things, and you do a lot of things well. Well, you know what the problem is when you can do a lot of things well? You become what they call a master, a jack of all trades, a master of none. I've been called that many times, and I've come to the point that I kind of despise it. Most people give it as a term of, you know, of praise or a term of flattery. They say, yeah, that means that you're good at a lot of stuff. That, you know, you're a jack of all trades. But I constantly see myself and I think about it and say, but I'm a master of none of them. What God is calling us to do in this season of retooling, this whole month of July, is that let's take that one and let's master it. Yeah, I can do this. I can do that. I can do that. And I do them all well. But I don't have one that I just need to know that that's my one. That's my thing. That's the one thing that I know I do. You know, I know what it is, but I got to stay focused on it. And this is what God is calling you to do. Let us not just be jacks of all trades. But see, what happens is this, and it took me a while to learn, especially in the professional space, that you need to have a calling card for this one particular thing. And when people are looking for it, when they need it, they'll know where to find it. Let's give you an example. Say, for instance, you're the only one that made, it's in a banana pudding. Yeah, I'm getting hungry. And you don't want to make this kind of banana pudding. Maybe you ain't selling none of them, but you're the best one at making that kind of banana pudding. Nobody else can make that banana pudding but you. But all of a sudden arises a time or a situation that calls for your type of banana pudding. Are y'all with me? And your type of banana pudding is the only one that they want. It's the only one that they need. If you've been sitting there working the craft, if you're sitting there taking your banana pudding and making it better and learning how to make it better and make it whatever it needs to be, you continue to perfect your craft. What you have is what you have. And God knows exactly what he gave you because he gave it to you. That's all you got. You work with what you got. And as you continue to work that, what does God do? He makes it better and better. And there's going to come a time they're going to come looking for you. Remember, we talked about the story of the colt that was in the other city. The Bible says that the colt had never been ridden upon. And they said, what? The master has need of him. And the master went and got that colt. And that colt didn't ride anybody else, but he rode Jesus Christ in to the city on Palm Sunday. So be reminded, brothers and sisters, focus on that one thing you do. Focus it, because why? We need you to focus. We don't need you to be a jack of all trades and a master of nothing. I need to know, if I need to call on Sister Jordan, I know I can call her because I know this is what she's going to do, and she's going to do it excellent. If I need to call on Sister Pam, I know this is what she's going to do, and this is what she's going to do excellent. If I need to call on Sister Hardy, I need to know this is what she's going to do, and she's going to do it excellent. Not be all over the place. Why? Because everybody knows their lane. Everybody knows their role. And everybody then what? That's working on one accord. One accord don't mean we're absolutely doing the same thing. It means that we're doing what we're doing in harmony. Think about when you play a chord on a piano or an organ or whatever the case may be, they play more than one key, but what do? Every key plays its note at the same time and it sounds beautiful. And when we are all on one accord in God, hey, it sounds beautiful to him, and therefore God moves. The accord moves God. And we get on one accord by you doing you, you looking at what you have in your hand, and you work what you have. I don't care if you're the broom pusher, you be the best broom pusher that you could be for Christ. And you know what? He might give you a bigger problem. And you know what? That's all right. Because all of us matter. Because if the church ain't clean, people don't want to come. So what you do does matter. If you're the best usher greeter, you be the best one. Why? Because if you put attitude on them, they might not come back. I try to give you the best of me every time I'm up here. That's why I go so hard. Why? Because I don't know who this one shot. We have new people in our chat on this morning. We have new people here in that's visiting in the Zoom. Thank you for coming. Y'all see them, my regulars, y'all know who you are. You know the regulars who are new in the chat. You see them. I don't know if they ever come back. I hope they do. I pray that they got something. But what if they don't? This is my opportunity to plant this seed. And if it, I don't even see it come up in this yard, but know that it came up when God allowed it to come up. Be the best you can be. Look at what you have in your hand. God bless you all. I love you all. I didn't take more of your time than I wanted to. But I'm just so excited what God is doing in the lives of believers. Would you all pray with me? Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this dynamic word on today, Lord, of retooling us, oh, God, to look at what we have, oh, God, that you gave David, Lord, you this slingshot, Lord, the same slingshot that he used when he was out in the field, the same one you allowed him to kill Goliath with, Lord. You trained him, oh, God. You built up his confidence, Lord, to be able to work, Lord, and go forward, Lord, and what it is that you call him to be. And Lord, I thank you for that right now as you do the same for each and every one of us. Continue to bless us, oh God. Lord, let us know that, Lord Jesus, there's no big I and no little you, oh God. Lord Jesus, that the work that we do, Lord Jesus, whether it's we're meeting people or we're greeting people, oh God, if we're singing in the choir, Lord Jesus, we're leading praise and worship, or whatever the case may be, Lord, we need to know, Lord Jesus, that you have us. And Lord Jesus, that you're working it out, oh God, and that you have need of us. And Lord, we want to say we thank you. Lord, we want to say we love you. Lord, we want to say we praise your name. Lord, we give your name all the honor and praise. Lord, I say this thing just sits on us all week. As you bring us back together in our space of next week, oh God, that we be there, Lord. Let things go well. Let them go the way that you design them to be, oh God. Lord, I ask you continue to keep us in our prayer throughout the whole week, oh God. Continue to let us bless you and give your name all the honor and all the praise. The glory and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and you alone. We ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. I love you all on this morning. If the Lord has put on your heart, maybe this is an opportunity to give tithe and offering. Amen. I know for many of you, it's the first of the month. I'm not going to call you out, but I'm just calling you into accountability. Amen. Say you want to be blessed, you got to do your part. Here, amen. It doesn't mean that God won't bless you, but he did say that he will hold back the devourer and he will hold back the enemy for our sake. If you want to write a check or a money order, you can write that to Finding Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862 at Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Again, it's P.O. Box, Finding Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. If you cash app us, that's the $ Safe House Church, GSO. Again, $, you'll see the little purple SH there to make sure you got the right one. Or you can do PayPal, paypal.me/ministryaid. Again, that's paypal.me/ministryaid. St. Luke tells us 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall what? Shall men give unto your bosom. Ask that you all govern yourselves accordingly. There. Amen. I do believe, we still have our women's group. Amen. I want to make you aware of that. I think they are taking tomorrow off because of the holiday. So that's understandable. Amen. I want you to enjoy your time with your family. But also, please go out and register and be a part of this space. God is growing that space and it's a consistent space. Sister Pam is doing such a wonderful job. Amen. God has allowed us to be in a position to be able to empower her to go forth and do his will. Amen. You know, I don't have to do everything. Matter of fact, I shouldn't be doing everything. That's a problem. Amen. So as we go forward in that, just continue to remember the women at the well. Also remember that we here at the Safe House Church, we're looking for some musicians. So if you know some people that we're here, get them in contact with us. We're looking for musicians and we're also looking for webmasters. Amen. It's time that God has opened up some doors for us and some other resources. Amen. And, as you all already know that, you all are blessing this church in tithe and offering. And now we're in a position that we can get some things. Amen. And we can put some things in order. I always wanted to, just we're not in a position to do so and just had to be patient. But now we're in a position. It's like, man, can we find the people? So we're looking for organ players. We're looking for drummers. We're looking for, like I said, webmasters and people to bring cameras, all kinds of stuff. So please get in contact with the church. You can just inbox us here at the church, or just reach out to me together. Just reach out to me however you see fit. All right. You can always get at the church at 336-501-7552. Again, it's 336-501-7552. God bless you all. I love you all. Remember, on tomorrow we'll be there. We'll still be praying. I know it's, you know, some of your holiday weekend. If, you know, if the room is open, we'll be there. If you choose to come, great. If not, that's between you and God. But we will be there at 6 a.m. praying until the glory of God until 6:30. God bless you all. Love y'all. Be careful. Make sure you keep your eye out. You know, it's holiday season. People are crazy. You know, with firecrackers and everything else going on, you might not pay attention or know what's going on. But nonetheless, make sure you pay attention to where you are. Be diligent. I mean, because things are happening. I mean, like I said, people are just sitting in their homes and the whole house fell down. So we never know. Amen. And we want to keep those people in our prayers and things that are going on. And we just want to ask God that He continue to bless them and keep them. All right. If all hearts and minds are clear, remember next week we'll be back in the church, 3113 Cedar Park Road, there in the beautiful city of Greensboro, North Carolina. Want to give a shout out to, hopefully I'm not going to embarrass her, Sister Allen, there with us there in the Zoom. So glad to have you out there, Sister. Yeah, we're your brothers and sisters to the northeast of you. And we're just so grateful that you decided to be here with us. And Ashley, you, hopefully you get the opportunity to come back and visit with us more and more on each and every Sunday and in the mornings. Amen. God bless you. Do we have anybody else? Remember, next week we're going to have some baby Christian. I see Miss Sister Perry's in there. So we're going to finally get to bite them jaws of Nova Grace. Amen. So can't wait to see that young lady. That's going to be the first baby that was conceived in our, well, not in our church, but y'all get what I'm saying. You know, while they were members of our church, and, you know, we watched them, you know, go through the pregnancy, and now this child's born. And she's up and walking, and, you know, the pandemic did rob pastor of being able to see this baby when it was little. But nonetheless, we're going to still do that. And also Sister Taylor on next week. So let's come prepared with the attitude of praise and thanksgiving and just thankful to come back into the space. God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care. Have an amazing, amazing 4th of July. And if you all need me, you know how to get at me. Take care. Love you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind, times are changing,